And on this edition of El Paso Primetime, I'm pleased to present a first-time visitor, but a long-time resident to El Paso, Henry Brutus. He's the CEO of the El Paso Diabetes Association. Henry, welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Serious business we're talking about in terms of diabetes on the border. Adults have a tendency to put blinders on to kind of ignore the problem.
Well, true. I guess as adults, we have, you know, certain habits that are hard to change. We also have a lot of knowledge, as we feel, whereas with kids, they're a blank canvas, if you will. So they just absorb everything as sponges. So the disadvantage to being adult is not only that it's harder to change our habits and our lifestyle, but it's also harder to ingrain knowledge. So we hear things, but it's not always translated into something we can use that becomes powerful. Whereas kids just, you know, like I said, they absorb everything. So yeah, it'd be great if we had the mindset of kids sometimes, without the behaviors, obviously.
I think sometimes the very nature of diabetes, it becomes somewhat of a mystery to adults.
It is a complex disease. We like to simplify it by saying, you know, it's a problem with, you know, your body being able to regulate the hormone or insulin that regulates your sugar. You know, really the simplistic way is to say everything that we eat, that we put in our mouth, turns into sugar, and our body has to be able to process it. And whenever there's impairment in that, then you develop what's called diabetes. But there's a lot more to it than just that. I mean, that's the simple answer. Unfortunately, or fortunately, each one of us is very different. So what impacts me and may make me sensitive to insulin and therefore becoming a diabetic may not impact someone else. It's just, I mean, even with, you know, I can illustrate that with the test results. You have someone who comes in and their blood sugar levels are 500 and they feel perfectly fine, whereas someone else at 200 feels like, what's going on? Something is wrong with me. So we're just very different. So it's, even though there's a formula that we try to prescribe to everyone, that formula may not work for you specifically. So that's why we always tell people, everyone's different, so make sure you're testing, because the test is what's going to give you indicators of what should I do or what should I not do. I mean, some people, you can eat certain things and it doesn't affect you, whereas someone else, you know, it feels like almost just looking at that same item and it affects them. So, you know, you have to, it's really, we're moving into what's called self-management of diabetes versus just diabetes management, which means your provider cannot manage it for you. They can give you tools to manage it, but you have to empower yourself and make those changes yourself.
Over the years, over the last 20, 30 years that I can think of, because my mom was type 2 diabetic, there have been a lot of improvements and a lot of changes in terms of how to manage diabetes. Things from the sugar pills or the diabetic pills and whatnot to different types of insulin. It used to be that my mom was on Illitin, and then they discontinued that and they put her on Humulin. But there are so very many different types of insulins out there now that you really need to have your provider pretty much know what you are as a person before you get the prescription.
Correct. Yeah, there's, and I know we usually focus on a lot of the negative sides of diabetes, but fortunately, this, you know, today we have a lot of advancement. We still don't have a cure, but there are a lot of advances. Starting with testing supplies, it used to take, you know, a significant amount of blood to test, and then it would take about 5 minutes to find the results. Now it's a micro drop of blood, and then within 5 seconds, you can know the results. It's also uploadable to your PC, iPad, smartphone, which is exciting because you no longer have to keep logs. I remember my grandmother had to keep a log of what her readings were. You have improvements in the medication, as you mentioned. There's a lot of medication right now on the type 2 diabetes side that, you know, they're oral medication, and they also help with weight loss, which is usually associated with type 2. So those are very exciting. Unfortunately, they're very expensive since they're new drugs, but hopefully over time we'll have generic versions of those as well. On the insulin type, as you were mentioning, you now even have inhaled insulin, so you no longer have to inject it. And in the injectables, there's long-acting, short-acting, I mean, there's so much nowadays. And back in my grandmother's days also, insulin was made from either pork or beef. So if you had any reactions to those two, you were out of luck. There was nothing else. And now it's, you know, it's made in a laboratory, so there's no real reactions or allergies to it. And it's just, it's a great day in terms of the advances that have been made. In addition to that, I mean, there's exciting things that are coming down the pipeline, such as a bionic pancreas, which, you know, I mean, first we had the insulin pump, which you're able to wear. Really, you're wearing your insulin injection, if you will. Mm-hmm. And now the bionic pancreas will be something that's, you know, implanted inside of you that mimics your own pancreas. And really what they're working on is having 24-hour monitoring where it kind of adapts to, you know, your body. So things like that are great advances. Obviously, they don't replace a cure, but until we do have a cure, you know, it's great to make progress.
As the CEO of the El Paso Diabetes Association, and for you just barely tuning in, we're talking to Henry Brutus from the El Paso Diabetes Association. As a CEO, do you find your association in a situation where you're now more likely to be able to get people hip on what's going on with diabetes, the differences between type 1, type 2, juvenile? As in before you came along, there were massive problems in trying to get people educated.
I can't speak for before my time. However, I can say that with so, unfortunately, the high prevalence of diabetes in our community, everyone knows about diabetes. They may not know the full truth about diabetes, but everyone kind of knows about diabetes. And all of us, I would assume, know someone who has diabetes or who's had diabetes. So that makes it easy. The other side of the coin is that diabetes is also evolving. I mean, with new research, we're also discovering more and more what it is. I mean, we used to say, you know, diabetes was genetic and passed down from one generation to the next. Well, now we're finding out that's not necessarily true, because we're seeing diabetes pop up in families with no history of diabetes, and in families with histories of diabetes that the offsprings don't have diabetes. So, you know, so now we're moving more, like type 1 is considered more an immune disorder versus, you know, a genetic disorder. With type 2, we're still thinking it's lifestyle related because of obesity. But, you know, you have people that show up that are thin or don't fit that profile that we often think of that have diabetes. So we still need to learn a lot more about diabetes as well as providers. But on the patient side, yeah, people are more receptive to it. I think it's more accepted, whereas before it was kind of tabooed. You know, seeing someone inject themselves, they thought, hey, it must be doing drugs. I mean, there were a lot of taboos before, and now it's more accepted. But there's also, that's also scary because people have previous myths like, well, I have, you know, I just have this sugar, so all I have to do is do this, or I just do this tea, or I do this stuff. And it's really, that may work for you, and if it does, that's great. But again, you have to test to make sure that it's working, not just how you feel, but really what your body's telling you. But it doesn't work for every single person, because if we found something that worked for everyone, that would be the cure that we could massively distribute.
One of the questions that I know some of our audience members will have is they may be members of organizations who would like to have presentations from the El Paso Diabetes Association. Come in and, you know, get them hip on what's going on. How do you guys go about doing that?
We're easily accessible. I mean, you can call us 532-6280. You can visit us. We're at 3641 Maddox, which is a block east of Hawkins on Montana. You can get our website, which is epdiabetes.org. A lot of resources on the website. We're on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter. I mean, so we're very accessible and very responsive. I mean, every response will get, you know, an answer within 24 hours. As far as presentations, we do ask for a couple of weeks to schedule those, because we do have a lot of requests for presentation. But we love to do those, and we'd love to do them for you as well.
Do you also accept volunteers to become presenters?
Of course, yes. We train volunteers for all aspects. I mean, from filing to presenting to screeners, if you have a medical background, we could not function without volunteers. So we're very grateful for volunteers and always looking for more.
One of the other questions I know that people will ask, because we're on a stream and so we'll get out into the outlying areas, how far can you go out in order to, you know, to reach out?
That's a good question. We typically tend to serve El Paso County. in, I'd say up to 8 years ago, we would go into Ciudad Juarez, Mexico. However, we formed an association there, so it's managed by, you know, the Mexican authorities now. It's managed by the state. Mm-hmm. We also used to go into southern New Mexico, but now we've also started a diabetes education program in Las Cruces to really take care of, you know, the citizens or residents of New Mexico. So really our focus is El Paso County. We're doing a big push into the colonias and outlying areas such as, you know, Agua Dulce and Montana Vista and all these areas that have a great need. We're also looking at next year into going more into San Elizario and Fabens, Clint, and all these areas. Mm-hmm. Once a year, we have gone outside of the city limits or county limits and have gone into Marfa and Presidio, and that's because they don't have any resources there. But that's something we'd rather have their own community take care of their needs. And really, the way we operate as a as an agency is that we feel we know what I'll call our people or yeah. my people, and it's better. It's a better way to have that trust, that rapport, and get, you know, it's not just going in and giving a blanket education, because every culture, everyone in that community may be different in how they receive that. So I think it helps if you have trust in who's providing that information.
Earlier this year, you had a conference with caregivers and providers. In a nutshell, did you come up with a series of solutions to try to forward into 2016, you know, in terms of diabetes education and care?
Yes, we did, actually. It was a very well-received conference. We tackle issues such as, you know, the practices that are showing promises throughout the country that are doing, you know, innovative things for persons with diabetes. We also brought in technology such as a service dog. How can a dog help a person with diabetes? And from the evaluation that we're getting back, over 85% of our participants have said that this was eye-opening and they will change their practice as a result. And we've been trying to do that for years. It was kind of hard to find the right speaker, but we had a speaker who was actually in medical school who has diabetes himself. So we wanted to address diabetes from the patient's perspective. And this person turned out to be the best because he's straddling both lines, where he's a provider, and he's also a patient. So I think that also, and the results were amazing. It gave the provider is a different perspective on things, because providers tend to think, I know it all, you're coming to me, I'm the expert. But they got a different sense of how the patient likes to be talked to, what kind of information they'll process. So that was very eye-opening, and it's sort of unintended. I mean, we wanted that talk, we just weren't too sure if it would come across that way. To 2016, I think our diabetes care in our community will be a little bit more standardized. I think our physician population especially understand that education is very important. It's not just giving you a script and say, go pick it up at your pharmacy. Yeah. So it's now becoming where it's more of a team management. So you do need your dietitian, you need your diabetes educator, you need the nurse, you need the physician, you may need a social worker depending on where you are. You need an exercise physiologist. So you may need even mental health to come into the picture, because unfortunately, many, especially our seniors, when they're diagnosed with diabetes, they also go into depression, which affects other things. So I think it was a great conference to have. We look forward to doing it again next year. I'm not sure how we follow up on what we did this year, but I'm sure we'll find a way.
There will always be a way. What I'd like to do is extend an invitation for early 2016, January, February. Let's come back to the table. We'll talk again about diabetes, only this time, let's not only talk about diabetes education, but let's talk about diabetic recipes.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Why don't we do that?
We actually we do cooking classes once a month. And for November and December, the topic or the focus is really on the holiday cooking and then all the desserts. So, you know, we'd like to say that just because you have diabetes does not mean you can't enjoy dessert. It's just portion control, moderation, and which is hard to do sometimes, but yeah.
Absolutely.
But thank you for the invitation. We'd love to be back.
We'd love to do that. And so we'll look forward to doing that in January or February of 2016. Henry Brutus has been our guest on El Paso Primetime. All of the information that we shared with you about how to get a hold of Henry and the gang over at El Paso Diabetes Association will be up on our website here shortly. El Paso Primetime continues in just a moment.